When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Chad, writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age, and we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. However you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Adam, Vikings OTAs begin this week, and that means it's a great time to freak out about Justin Jefferson's contract, because that's what we do now. Justin Jefferson is not at voluntary OTAs. That was confirmed by ESPN's Adam Schefter today. So let's just dive right into it. Adam, are you freaking out about Justin Jefferson's contract yet?
Not as much as maybe some of the aggregators would like us to freak out, because I just came across that post about how someone had exclusive footage of Justin Jefferson in New Jersey at some hotel or whatever being chauffeured, not realizing that the Wilfs are from New Jersey. So, good one. Good one, aggregators. Good one. You're always on top of things these days. No, I'm not worried about Justin Jefferson. This is the theme of this offseason, of just going through things over and over again about, we did the Kirk thing, we did the quarterback stuff in the draft. Now it's on Justin Jefferson's contract and how it's just never ending. I think Dan Graziano of ESPN shared how, you know, a deal might not even be done until like a week before the season. And the Vikings have a date like July 31st, where like something about signing bonuses. They like to do stuff after that. But yet here we are. Adam Schefter tweeting out today that Justin Jefferson was not in attendance for voluntary workouts at OTAs.
Voluntary? What does that word mean?
That means you can go if you want to, or you can stay home and work out with your own, you know, training staff or whatever. We already know that Kevin O'Connell has said that he talks to Justin Jefferson probably daily. So it's not like there's a lack of communication between anybody. Are we really going to be worried about Justin Jefferson when the season starts and he's playing amazing? We're like, oh, you know, if he just got those few voluntary OCA sessions in, he could have been just so much better. No, we're not going to say that, because he's going to be fine. He's going to sign his deal eventually. Not worried about it. Not going to feed into anything that, you know, ML football or pro football, like daily talk, weekly, whatever aggregator wants to put out there, that there's some tension or anything between the Vikings and Justin Jefferson, because there isn't. There's nothing to talk about. The contract will get done when it gets done. And it's May, whatever, May 20th.
I think. 20th.
So there isn't a whole lot to talk about. So you kind of sometimes you just kind of make stuff up to kind of, what's going to happen with Justin Jefferson and the Vikings? Should he look to get out? No. Everything's fine until it isn't. Right now, it's fine.
You're forgetting the main theme, staple of the show. Top five, Terry Jefferson, Sir Josh Jefferson. We gonna pull with Patrick Mahomes. New York Jets. He drive around New Jersey getting chauffeured. I don't know. Jets don't have no salary cap space, but I don't really care. Because nobody freaking looks at over the cap anyway. We've already been over this, because Justin Herbert. Oh, Justin Herbert. Yeah, they're going to trade for Justin Herbert. CTE, ESPN, Antonio Brown said it. It must be true, right? I'm trying not to swear, because I know you said the podcast is monetized now. So I'm trying not to cost fan-sided money.
Behind the scenes secrets.
Yes, this is how the sausage is made. You want to know how else the sausage is made? everybody gets them clicks, everybody gets them views, everybody gets them likes, everybody gets them tweets. Like, I am tired of talking about you. You want me to freak out about Justin Jefferson's contract? Let's freak out about Justin Jefferson's contract, because I'm tired about talking about this. The only reason that people are still talking about this, and the only reason this is news, because it clicks. Everybody's going to go click, 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 click. You're going to make all the 5 cents or whatever the hell it is, and you're going to see Justin Jefferson go, oh boy, Justin Jefferson's not there for voluntary workouts. I don't think, I refresh my memory, I could be wrong on this, but I think Justin Jefferson didn't show up to OTAs last year either. Aaron Rodgers never showed up to OTAs while he was with the Packers. Tom Brady, the list goes on and on and on. They have workout bonuses, but a guy like Justin Jefferson doesn't need the money. This is not like Daniil Hunter, where his agent screwed up his contract and he tried to make up for it for 6 years. Like, this, if a deal, like the one thing that annoys me right now, I guess there are many things, because this would be another thing that annoys me. Why isn't it done yet? Why is it? Why, if they were so close back in September, like Kwesi said they were, why is it not done? And Kwesi's up there like he needs his contract celebration month. Like this, I don't know. I don't, my brain was going somewhere, but I don't think it makes sense. Like at this point, just talk to me when it's done. Talk to me when there's a resolution. I, like you mentioned the Kirk Cousins thing. I totally agree with that, because at this point he's either going to get signed to a very contract and he's going to be a Viking for 4 or 5 years, or they're going to trade him and people are going to be mad. But then you turn around and you say, okay, why did the Vikings decide to trade him? Why did it come out? You see the contract details and you just deal with it. Like he's either going to be here or he's not. And the chances are he's going to re-sign. He's going to be here, because if they trade him, it would be absolutely stupid unless he's asking for like unless he's asking for Jared Goff money. Let's put it that way. If he's asking for $52 million a year, maybe I pause a little bit and go, yeah, that might have been a little unrealistic. But I don't know. I mean, deadlines spur action. Like, I believe he gets fined hundreds of thousands of dollars if he doesn't show up to mandatory minicamp. Yeah, mandatory, which means you have to show up, in case people don't know that word either. Like if they get the contract done, then that's great. If they get the contract done in training camp, that's also great. Like at this point, it's not worth freaking out, because guess what? If they don't get it done, they'll slap the franchise tag on him next year.
Yep.
So yeah.
Something that Dan Graziano mentioned when he talked about Jefferson a couple weeks ago was how he shares an agent with Nick Bosa and Joe Burrow. And I just looked it up while you were talking. Nick Bosa skipped OTAs last year, voluntary OTAs, so you can do that. And he showed up to mandatory minicamp, but he didn't participate. So I would just probably expect something similar to happen with Jefferson, and I'm sure people will freak out about that. But guess what happened with Nick Bosa?
He signed.
He got his new deal. Same thing with Deebo Samuel. He skipped OTAs a couple years ago. We've seen this with other, I think Diggs did skip OTAs, but that was for others. Yeah. But with this, just like I know it's practice, and it's not really even practice. It's just like doing drills. They're playing catch pretty much with helmets on. But if Jefferson, God forbid, he gets hurt, then the Vikings have an enormous amount of leverage over Jefferson to be like, well, you're hurt. We're not going to give you $35 million a year with, you know, $70 fully guaranteed. Why would we do that? You're hurt, and you got hurt last year. So what's, you know, I think him getting hurt last year with the hamstring or whatever probably made this more likely that he was going to skip OTAs, just to avoid that, because that's something that the Vikings can go back on and be like, look, you were hurt last year, and if he got hurt in OTAs this year, they'd be like, well, now you're kind of injury prone, and we don't want to give you, you know, as much maybe that you're looking for. It sounds stupid, but teams look for any sliver of, you know, leverage they can get. So I'm not surprised by this. I don't care about it. The only person I really care about in OTAs this year is JJ McCarthy and how he, you know, just kind of acclimates to the offense.
Well,
I don't really care if he throws 19 interceptions as well, though. Like, so
throw was behind Jordan Addison today. I saw that as well.
Also, other people on the team can be good. Like, cornerbacks can be good on the team. It doesn't just
Kyrie Jackson shut down Jordan Addison too.
Yeah.
Sophomore slump coming.
What if Kyrie Jackson's the next, you know, Darrell Revis? We don't know.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. Like, I think I think training camp is when I would officially start getting a little about this. Because TJ Hawkinson, another guy who went through the rigmarole of trying to get a new contract from this regime, and he wound up having the ear infection and the back injury that was totally fine as soon as he signed on the dotted line.
You're going to shame him for an ear infection again? Jeez.
I'm just stating facts. It is documented. It is on injury reports. And I mean, people don't remember this too. TJ got off to a slow start last year after that holdout. And with JJ McCarthy there, you want to get that rapport with Jefferson. You want to get that rapport with Sam Darnold. Like, I think training camp would be the freak out moment that I would have when it comes to this contract.
Yes and no, because how many yards did Jefferson have in the final game with Nick Mullins as his quarterback?
That's a fair point.
He had 190.
He did practice with Nick Mullins all year, though. So
not all year. 192 like the Vikings yards.
Sorry to talk over you, but the Vikings schedule, we talked about it last episode. It's a tough schedule.
Right.
Like, I want to have all hands physically able to be possible on deck.
Yeah, and Jefferson could get off to a slow start. You know, that's fine or whatever. I think the Vikings in general probably will get off to a slow start because they have a lot of new pieces and new quarterback and stuff. But at the same time, I don't think the Vikings are really worried about their slow start this year. They're more focused on, you know, maybe finishing strong and a better looking ahead to 2025 and competing then. I think this whole year is about kind of just getting everything kind of settled for the future. Get Jefferson under contract, get him ready for the future, get JJ McCarthy up to speed, get him ready for the future. And just kind of look forward to 2025. So I just not like on the worry scale with Justin Jefferson. I think I'm like 0.1% worried right now. No matter what posts people put out or anything about what hotels he's staying in or blah, 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 blah. Like, who cares?
It's like Bigfoot. Like, they just have like their cell phone out. Just like, I saw him in the wild of New Jersey. Like,
well, yeah. And these, there's a Vikings aggregator account, Purple Persuasion, that does a really good job of just like,
he does. Yeah.
Getting everything together. And it's super helpful. But there's other accounts like the ML football account that just like, it's clearly everything they post is just to get, you know, whatever it's called, engagement and likes. Because first off, I'm not going to talk about this. Harrison Butker, he said like, oh, his jersey's the top selling jersey on the whole site. And you go, oh, it takes a couple clicks, go to NFL.com. It's totally wrong. Like, it's not the top selling jersey, but that, you know, those people don't care about that. They care about you freaking out and liking their posts and engaging or whatever. So a lot of those aggregator accounts are just, to describe it pretty easily, a lot of bullshit. So, you know, I would wait if it was like Ben Gessling or Kevin Seifert or Alec Lewis, like, oh, Justin Jefferson report, or Tom Pelissero or Rappaport, even Schefter, like, oh, Jefferson, he's in New Jersey today. I wonder what he's doing there. If those guys were doing that, okay, then I might sweat a little bit more. But they're not, because they know it's a waste of time. They've talked about it way too many times. This year, I was surprised Schefter even put out a post today about Jefferson, because even he knows. But, you know, he also knows what exactly he's doing. And that might have been even just like a little favor to Jefferson's agent to like just put it out there and remind people like, oh, yeah, he's not under contract. Maybe this will help us get a few more dollars.
Go to work, TikTok guys.
No, it's all a game. It's all a game.
It is all a game. You mentioned 2024 season. Well, we can kind of go into that realm a little bit, because TJ Hawkinson might not show up for half of the season, according to a report by Ben Gessling. Hence the theme here. Hawkinson, as you may have heard, was injured on a tackle by Kirby Joseph last Christmas Eve. He told reporters the rehab was going well, but then when he was asked about week one, he's like, well, I don't know. The Vikings signed NFC North journeyman Robert Tonyan last week. And Ben Gessling on the Access Vikings podcast said he wouldn't be surprised if he's out the first 6 weeks and come back against the Lions in week 8. If this is the timetable, A, would you be surprised? And B, how screwed would the Vikings be?
Well, first off, I don't think it's 6 anymore. I think it's 4 for the Puppets.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I think he's saying with the schedule, so I think you're out of mandatory 4.
But so he'd come back after the bye or whatever. probably. Yeah, I could see that. I did when I did my like way too early 53-man roster. I think I might have done it before the draft or right after the draft. I had TJ Hockenson on the pup list because I assumed he got injured on tore his ACL and his MCL on Christmas Eve. Not everyone is Adrian Peterson and just like is nuts and comes back immediately. Even Peterson wasn't. He wasn't 100% when he came back that year when he came back from his ACL. It took him a couple weeks to get up to steam. I think that first game was against the Jaguars, I want to say. And he only ran for like 70 yards. But with Hockenson, yeah, I saw that interview. I think it was on like the scheduled release show or Total Access on NFL Network. And they were like, oh, yeah, you're going to be ready for week one. He was like, they didn't put a timetable on it. We'll see. You know, we're working everything through. It's just like, yeah, okay, you're not going to be ready. But at the same time, yeah. And then they signed Tanyan. And so, like, signs are pointing to the Vikings at least approaching his situation, you know, kind of with caution, as they should, because they just signed him to a big extension. So it would be not a good idea for them to just put him out there before he should go and re-injure himself. It stinks because he's a really good tight end when he's healthy, and I think he would be helpful for a young quarterback. But it's a long season too, so he might not even, like, J.J. McCarthy might not even play while Hockenson is out. Like, they could both be on the field, you know, start their season next year at the same time. So I think, you know, probably sucks more for Sam Darnold if he's starting, but for J.J. McCarthy, I don't think it's probably that big of a deal because it seems like Hockenson would probably be ready by the same time that the rookie's ready. So I would agree that it's probably a very good chance that Hockenson starts on the pup list.
Yeah, and I think, like you said too, it was a multi-ligament knee injury. Mm-hmm. He didn't have surgery until, I believe, it was late January. So the
swelling, yeah.
Yeah, all the swelling, and I think they wanted the MCL to heal on its right. own.
Yep.
I mean, the Vikings have talked a lot about their infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. How, you know, they have the bookend tackles, they have the weapons, they have all that stuff, and that's why a quarterback will succeed. Well, you don't want to risk that infrastructure by trotting TJ Hockenson out there when he's like 80% in week one and expect him to go through an 18-week season. That's just not smart.
No.
So holding him out, sorry, I thought I heard something there.
You good?
No. The magic of live YouTube.
Sam Darnold in there seeing ghosts again?
Apparently, he's going to come out of the closet here and surprise me. They're also doing construction. They're actually redoing the parking lot behind me. So I think that's maybe what I heard. But anyway, I don't really know what I was like. The Vikings are saying all the right things with Sam Darnold as far as we think we compete with him. We think we can do all that's whatever. They have to know. that's not our guy. That JJ McCarthy's our guy. So we want him to have the full cavalcade of weapons, to have everything. And I mean, yeah, it does create an issue in the short term, but I'm not worried about the short term. I'm not worried about 2024. Like we said last year, you know, I predicted 7-10, you predicted 8-9. And if they did that last year, in fact, they did do that last year with 7-10, it was kind of disappointing. This year, if they go 7-10 and 8-9, maybe J.J. McCarthy is back. Maybe Hockenson's back to his old form. And you have Justin Jefferson under a shiny new contract. You're feeling a lot better about things than you did 1 year ago when thinking, well, are they going to bring back Kirk? Are we just going to run this back again? Like, there's a lot of things here that I think I'd be excited about. I do wonder what the receiver room will look like. Justin Jefferson obviously is your one, Jordan Addison is your two, but number three is Brandon Powell right now. Mm-hmm. And they had KJ Osborne in that role, and he wasn't as much as a receiver as he was a guy that did dirty work, like run blocking, creating space, kind of running the underneath routes. That's an important role in the offense. I also wonder if maybe we'll see more of the running game in the early going with Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler. Probably. Maybe not from a, you know, maybe not like ultimate Mike Zimmer football, run the ball 40 times, but I'm thinking screen game. That might be a thing.
We're going to work this year?
I don't know. That's, I mean, he loves to call them. It's not a lack of effort.
It doesn't matter if they work or not, especially. And the thing with like Hockenson, he plays a position where tight ends, it's like their job to get beat up pretty much. Like they catch all the balls in the middle of the field and get, you know, gang tackled, and they have to block on running plays and everything. So if you want your tight end to be, you know, effective, make sure he's almost fully recovered from his major knee injury, which, you know, I'm sure when they play the Lions again, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, oh, let's go for Hawkins and Sneeze again, because, you know, they're fresh. And that's football, you know, like it sucks sometimes, but that's how it goes. In wrestling, you get a guy in there and they have an injury. What do the whole match? They target the injury and same thing in football. So it's a bummer with Hawkinson. But I don't think anyone should be surprised if, you know, they start training camp late July and they do the roster and they're like, Hawkinson starting on the PUP list and blah, 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 blah. I don't think anyone should be surprised by that.
Do you think 2024 is setting up to be a rebuild year?
Not really a rebuild year. I would say a more of a retool. They got rid of some significant pieces with Kirk and Danielle Hunter and some other people, and they've replaced them, and they probably want to just get their replacements up to speed with everything they want to do. And not like maybe throw the entire kitchen sink at these players and let them kind of adapt as much as possible. But at the same time, these guys are pros, and I would expect them to adjust pretty well. I would look at it more as, you know, I think it was Jalen Hurts' first year as a starter before they went to the Super Bowl. They made him a starter, and I think a lot of people are like, oh, this will be like a rebuild year. This will be a year to get them to go, you know, they'll go slow or they'll be okay. They'll be competitive. But then they ended up making the playoff. I think they lost to the Bucks in the first round or something like that. So I would look at the Vikings in a similar situation. I don't think they're going to be terrible. I think a lot of things would have to go wrong for them to be terrible. They have too much talent. But I think they can compete for a playoff spot. I think competing for the NFC North might be a stretch at this point, just because of how strong at least the Packers and Lions are. But yeah, the 7 or 8 wins that we guessed last week, I think is easily attainable. I think they're over under is 7.5 right now. Okay. For the Vikings.
Was it at 6.5 at one point?
Yeah, let me look it up.
Because if it's 6.5, I would say smash the over. I don't think this team, like, even if you don't have Hawkinson and maybe, you know, McCarthy doesn't play this year, like, I still think they could win 6-7 games with Sam Darnold. Or
yes,
like I've theorized, maybe Nick Mullins gets in there before we see McCarthy. I mean, all of those things are possible.
He's got to make the. Oh, it is 6.5.
I'd hit, but the over.
The over is -45, so even they think they'll win more.
It's not quite the Charles Barkley guarantee.
The Bears are 8.5.
Yeah, smash that under.
I know.
This is a tough division, though.
Lions are 10.5.
Yeah.
Wow, that seems high. I know they're better, and their schedule is going to be a lot tougher.
See, like, I look at it now that it's seven and a half too.
Wow. Okay.
16 game seasons were so burned into my brain for a long time that, you know, now I just look at how many losses it is. So like a 7 loss season, I'm like, oh, so they would have been like a 9 win team in, you know, 20 or whenever they made the change or whatever. I can't even think 2020 or whatever.
Sorry, I was just looking at the Cowboys. They have 10.5 too. What?
Who's going to stop them? That's the only thing that.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like, bothers me more than like Justin Jefferson top 5, like who, Ezekiel Elliott and CeeDee Lamb, and I don't even know who the hell their tight end is. Jake Ferguson. Sure. Okay, that's not even like the worst one. Like the worst one's like Washington's offense, mm-hmm, right? Like, mm-hmm. Brian Robinson,
Cardinals.
Marvin Harrison Jr. That's it. Who's getting sued by Fanatics now? If you saw that,
yeah, I saw that. That's weird.
Yeah. Not a great way to
great good start to your career, dude.
Yeah,
get sued by like the richest apparel company in the world.
The guy that makes like the majority of your money. Yeah, not great. That's basically it I have for strictly Viking stuff. Unless you want to talk about Dalton Reisner being the best fit for the Vikings. Somebody said, I don't get it, man. Like, I understand. We're kind of freaking out about Blake Brandel and the Vikings are trying to make him a thing, but something's off there.
Yeah. I don't know. If he had, like, the Vikings are the only team that hasn't signed him. Like, there's 31 other teams that haven't signed him. He could have been signed by somebody else. So obviously it's not just the Vikings.
It's not like he had a bad year.
He wasn't bad, but he wasn't. To me, it seems like he probably wants more than what he's worth, and he's not willing to take less, probably. Yeah. Or at least until, you know, the season starts and he's unsigned again. He's like, I'll test. But yeah, like there's a reason why he's not signed, and it's not because he's terrible or whatever. Because plenty of terrible players have been signed this offseason. It just seems like there's more of the story probably than we know. I mean, he switched agents. He's got Drew Rosenhaus now.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't liking what his other representation was doing. Rosenhaus has been doing it for a while, so he knows what he's doing. If he can't get you a deal, then gets kind of out of luck, because he's been doing this for a while since T.O. was doing sit-ups in his driveway.
Yeah, he's like the Scott Boris for you baseball fans out there. Yep. Just power agent, working two phones, just like trying to get the deal. And there was like
Lee Steinberg is another one.
Yeah,
I think he's
Eli's man.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day. When you see an agent like that, you run. So I think a lot of you guys may notice my voice is a little hoarse this morning. Or I guess we're doing this at 6:51 at night. Shows you what I've been doing. I was up late watching Timberwolves content. Yes.
Johnny Flynn all night.
Timberwolves.
Long.
Johnny Flynn. Just Johnny Flynn highlights nonstop. No. it's funny you make that joke, because the Timberwolves are going to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. I, of course, have my Timberwolves stuff on, and this is a Viking show. I don't like to cross-reference unless it's professional wrestling, then anything goes. But the Vikings at least have a rich history of former professional wrestlers. Yes. So it does technically make sense. I'm watching the Timberwolves last night, and even like a couple of games ago, I believe it was game two against the Nuggets, and I made this correlation. This team feels a lot like the 2017 Vikings, where they are a dominant team that relies on its defense, which is one of the most like reliable things that you can do, especially in the NBA, because, you know, jack up threes. Well, you're going to miss shots every night. Mm-hmm. You play consistent defense. That's going to keep you in games. And, you know, just kind of like the Vikings in 2017, I think the Timberwolves had their Minneapolis miracle last night. Like, it wasn't a one play where they kind of pull the game out of their ass, like in a big moment. That could still be coming. But down 20 in the third quarter, sitting there watching it.
On the road,
feeling hope and despair. You got Christian Braun out there looking like a kid that messed up my cooler at Quick Trip. You got Nikolai Jokic, who, you know, now he can go play with his horses. And Jamal Murray, he can get some ice for his elbow now and his calf.
new heating pad.
Yeah, new heating pads, you know. Now he's got plenty of time to figure that whole thing out. Like, it's just like, you know, it feels like a team of destiny in the same way that the 2017 Vikings did when Stephon Diggs caught the pass from Case Keenum. Now, I know a lot of you are sitting there going like, well, 2017 didn't really turn out. But like, that's how it feels, because I look at the other teams right now. You know, if a flat earther and Cheeseburger Luka stopped them from going to the NBA Finals, I'm not going to be okay. And then you have Boston taking on another random small market team in Indiana. It's kind of like when the Vikings were going to Philadelphia. Everybody's like, oh, it's just Nick Foles. Like, we got this. And 38-7 later, we all know what happened. But I mean, too, you know, Boston's still in there. They're represented. Obviously, you had Tom Brady taking on Blake Bortles, which is still one of the funniest graphics in NFL history. Like, I know you're not like a diehard basketball fan, but do you see some of those vibes, or what do you think, is someone who's kind of removed from the situation?
No, there's a lot of similarities for sure. Obviously, both from Minnesota. I would say that this Timberwolves team is the 2017 Vikings with Justin Jefferson out there, because I think Anthony Edwards kind of just separates those two, because he's just very just unique talent, kind of all-star level. Not kind of, he is an all-star level, all-NBA level type of player. Would Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns, would they be Barr and Kendricks?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of similarities. And I thought about that too when they won last night. I was like, oh, this is going very similar. How semifinals of the conference. A very exciting win. And then the next few games, don't get your hopes up because, you know, it's a,
well, look at what happened in games 3, 4, and 5. Like game 2, it was like everybody was crowning the Timberwolves, and all of a sudden the Nuggets were like, we're still a good
wasn't
team.
Stephen A. like, wasn't he like, oh, I'm picking the Timberwolves to win the championship after it was like 2-0. And then I saw a clip of, I think it was Kendrick Perkins the other day when they were down 3-2, and Stephen A. and all the other people were like, so what did, you know, did the Nuggets win this series or did the Timberwolves lose this series? And Perkins was like, what? The series isn't even over yet. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Well,
go ahead. Is that kind of what you got? Or
yeah, well, it's just, I think it's very similar. And I think Minnesota fans already know this, sports fans, to just, you know, approach everything with caution, especially with, you know, the history of the Vikings, you know, with Brett Favre and the NFC Championship, the Vikings losing in 38-7, all that fun stuff. Even the Blair Walsh, like, that seemed like a gimme. And then things in the NBA happened where, like, you know, you had LeBron with the Heat going against the Mavs, and they were like, oh, the Heat, they're going to blow them out of the water. And then the Mavs beat them. So you just never know in sports.
Right. You know, I like the fact you brought that up, because that's been kind of, you know, they've been mentioning this on Score North, Phil Mackey, today, that, you know, every time a Minnesota team faces adversity, to quote Viking legend Chris Boyd, becomes tight butthole time, right? Or he's just like, oh man, oh, like, even down, like, I said this on Twitter going into the fourth quarter, I go, nah, you know, losing by 20 just isn't painful enough. The sports gods are just like, and like, it was funny over here because there's like a big lightning storm. So I thought like the Wolves are going to pull it off and the apocalypse was going to shine down or whatever. But like it's a thing throughout all Minnesota sports, like the Xcel Energy Center, where the Minnesota Wild play, it becomes a church when the Wild are losing in the playoffs. You could read a book in that place, which is nothing against people that I know that work there and do a great job. But at the same time, they get a little nervous when they start losing. Twins fans are notorious for being pessimistic. There's a couple out there who are positive, maybe to a point where they're a little too positive. But I mean, most of the Twins fans are watching, like, oh, they're cutting the payroll. And like, Wolves fans are guilty of this too. Like, they looked up who the ref was coming. I mean, that's like the biggest thing. Like, you wake up and be like, oh, it's Scott Foster. Like, he's the Rock, the final boss coming out. Like,
even though they're like, aren't they like 8-1 with him this season or something?
Yeah, I think now they are. I think they're like 4-2 with him now.
Yeah.
So. But it's still a factor because he hates Rudy Gobert, who can't stop making the money sign. Why am I getting fined? I don't understand. It's just a gesture. I'm not assuming anything. But I mean, game six tickets dropped to $70 before, you know, that happened. And it was because the Wolves were down 3-2 in the series. Like, tying this back to the Vikings, there's still some Viking people out there who think the Vikings just drafted Christian Ponder 2.0 because they took a swing on a quarterback. Like, I saw a video, somebody posted their kids watching the Wolves game last night, and they were so damn excited. They were like looking and they're like, oh my God, they won, and they're running outside and screaming. I remember doing that during the Twins in 2002, where it was just so weird to see the Twins in the MLB playoffs. And, you know, the 3-run homer by AJ Pierzynski in game 5, of the ALDS, and, you know, the excitement of going to the ALCS. And they were undone by the rally monkey, but that doesn't take the shine off of that moment. Like, I think that as Vikings fans, maybe it's time to like accept, hey, positive things could happen here. Like, and I don't know. I mean, it would be freaking hilarious if after all of these years, like, we need a Minnesota sports team to win a championship. Shout out to the Lynx. So I'll say men's team. Mm-hmm. We need a men's team to win a championship. And it's the freaking Timberwolves that do it. It's exciting.
They have the lowest. They definitely have the lowest winning percentage of all like the major sports franchises, right? Easily, probably.
It's not great. Between
them and the Wild?
Well, the Wild have always been like kind of good though.
Okay.
Like they're like the Vikings on ice, really, where they just run everybody back and expect things to change. The
Vikings have been on ice for.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of people still, I know Kevin O'Connell's, this is what, their third year with Kwesi. A lot of people still like treat them like Rick Spielman is running the team. Like, oh, I can't believe they made this move. They always do this. Like, why can't they ever get it right? And then, you know, they have a draft like they just had where they not only got a quarterback, but they also drafted maybe arguably the best edge rusher in the entire draft too. But like, there's one.
We paid too much. There's too much picks. Yes,
but we didn't. We didn't re-sign Dalton Reisner. So the season's over. Kwesi's a terrible GM. Fire Kwesi. So it's like, you know, GMs don't do everything 100%. Coaches don't or get everything right. You know, they're not they don't have a 1,000 batting percentage average or whatever on everything. Coaches don't either. I think just like the slightest mistake just makes people go back into their, you know, their dark place and be like, here we go again. Like, I got excited about this team because the Vikings just did it too in 2022. They won 13 games, won the division, and then they lose to the Giants in the wild card.
Yeah.
So like they just did that. So like, it's just something that, you know, Minnesota in general is used to, but I would go back to, you know, before the Patriots had their dynasty. Boston was kind of like this. Like, Boston sports, the Red Sox, they didn't win anything until the mid-2000s. You know, the Bruins, they weren't winning cups until the mid-2000s. The Patriots didn't win their first Super Bowl until 2000. So, like, before that, they were in a similar situation where, like, they would come up, you know, the Patriots would get to the Super Bowl. They played the Packers in, what, 96 or whatever. And they played the Bears in 85, and they would lose. And then Tom Brady comes along, kid from Michigan comes along.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
And then, you know, Bill Belichick comes along and they win, what, six Super Bowls
yeah.
in the next 15 years? So, like, all it takes is, like, a couple of guys to turn things around. Look at Anthony Edwards. Like, all it took really was him and their coach. They got a different coach in there, and he seems to be helping out with everything, and the GM that they hired last year seems to be getting everything sorted out the way it should be. It just takes a couple of changes. And it also takes patience. I think that's the problem too. Like, we're in this generation where we want instant gratification. You know, we want people to be good at quarterback immediately. Everyone wants every rookie quarterback to be CJ Stroud. And that's just, he's not the norm. And I think people are going to be disappointed with some players next year. Like, even J.J. McCarthy, if he's not like that, they're going to be like, oh, he's a waste. He's a bust. It's like, okay. Patrick Mahomes didn't even play when he was a rookie. He played one game, and it was like the week 17 game where no one played. So, like, let's chill out. But I think it takes a couple of players to be heading in the right direction. I think the Timberwolves have kind of figured that out, and hopefully the Vikings can do that too.
I just want to go through a couple of comments here to close the show. Kenny 49ers, who I believe probably a neutral guy. Are you lost? But thank you for watching and commenting.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. He goes, hey guys, is Drake May a pile of trash? Glad you got JJ. He also goes on to say, hope we see Sam instead. So Sam instead of JJ or
49. Well, I think he's a 49ers fan. So he's going to say, hopefully they see the Niners in week two.
Yeah. I get it.
Okay. I'm judging by his username that he's a 49ers fan.
It would be interesting to see if the Vikings drafted Drake May with all this stuff going on. He goes, I subbed you, bums. Okay. Know thy enemy. We love it. We love you, Kenny.
I would say Drake May on the Patriots has a better chance of being a pile of trash than he would have with the Vikings, because he doesn't have anyone to throw to. He has KJ Osborne. That's his number one receiver. Who's their starting running back? I don't know. And their offensive line, like, needs a lot of help. I just think it's more uphill battle for Drake May on the Patriots than it would have been with him on the Vikings. So I think it would have been the same thing too, though. But if JJ McCarthy went to the Patriots, I think it's just not a good situation for a young quarterback, which is why a lot of people thought they were going to trade out of the pick, because they just need a lot more stuff. But they're I'm sure ownership. I'm sure Bob Kraft got in there and was like, no, we need a quarterback. It's like, okay.
It's like Terry Fontenot in the Falcons draft room. It's like, yeah, I love Michael Penix. We have to do it. Somebody's going to take him.
I think ownership had a part to play in that. And the Falcons, I think it had to. Like, you can't make a move like that without your owner being either on board or the one to initiate that. Cause I think he wanted a succession plan or whatever, cause they signed Kirk Cousins, but at the same time, they're like, he's what, 35, 36? He's not long-term solution, regardless of
how much. I thought you were talking about Michael Penix's age for a second.
His 30.
Knees are 35, 36, but go on.
He's 34, so he's getting up there. I did just listen to, I think, Kirk Cousins on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Very interesting conversation with Kirk about how, you know, regimented he is. It makes me come out of it and think that he's probably not the one behind why he didn't work on Tuesdays or why he doesn't work on Tuesdays. There's someone else in that household who helped him with that, but that's fine too at the same time. But for those who are concerned about that element of his approach to football, that's probably why. But it's good. It's an interesting interview. He kind of let loose because he's talking with former football players, so he's able to kind of relate to them more. It's a good, interesting interview, so go check that out. But yeah, like Timberwolves don't like just do they have home corner advantage now?
They do. See, it's all the more to like set us up.
Oh yeah, because the Vikings would have played in US Bank Stadium at the Super Bowl.
Yes. So the Wolves would have, so they have home court advantage against the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And if the Pacers beat the Celtics, then they would have home court over them. But I think Boston had a better record during the regular season, so they would have home court over the Wolves. But I don't know. I'm excited. This is fun. Championships are fun.
Did you see the clip of KG where Paul Pierce was like, who would you root for if the Celtics and Timberwolves made the championship? And he was like, both?
Like he doesn't know what to do. He's like, the Wolves are good.
He's like, if the Celtics win game one, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to the locker room being like, yeah. He's like, if the Timberwolves win game two, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to the locker room being like, yeah. So like,
oh, he said he's going to go to the locker room. So that implies he would be there physically.
I don't know about that, but
yeah. It's like
If Glenn Taylor decides not to go, I'm sure he would be.
It's the end scene of Major League where Rick Vaughn sleeps with Roger Dorn's wife and he goes out there and wins the World Series. And then in the celebration, he just like sucker punches him. And he picks him up and keeps celebrating. Like that's what it would be. KG and Taylor. KG just throwing a sucker punch at Glenn Taylor. And we won the championship.
There's no reason why Kevin Garnett's number is not retired by the Timberwolves.
It's because he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to deal with Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
So
for sure. So when he's gone, that'll probably whoever the owners are.
There's only you and I both know there's only one way to solve that.
The Wolves need to buy the Timberwolves.
You take the papers, you hang them high up in the sky. The only way to get them is by climbing a ladder.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes. What's going on in the Viking Age, man?
Well, wasn't yesterday the anniversary of Brock Lesnar running in on Money in the Bank? Was it Ali who was about to win? And Lesnar, I think I saw that clip going around where Lesnar, it was like Ali was about to get it. And then Lesnar's music came on. He just ran and just like bulldozed the ladder over. And that was the year where he was like holding the briefcase and like dancing around.
Brock party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. Viking Age. Let's see. What do we got this week? I'm going to assume some Vikings are going to be talking this week because they've got some OTAs and usually that goes on. So we'll be paying attention to that. You know, maybe we'll keep an eye on Justin Jefferson. Probably not because nothing's going to happen. But yeah, look at some more, you know, free agents who might still be available. June 1st is approaching. So that usually is a date where after that teams usually start adding more people because of certain salary cap, rules. So it'll be a good time to look at some of that stuff and, just whatever fun stuff is going on. I wrote today about, the Ravens signing Kadri Ismail's, kid who is a 6'6", 225 pound wide receiver. Signed with the Ravens today.
Those are my favorite wide receivers. Just big dudes who like,
that's super tight. Fast. That's like tight end size.
Or give I know. Yeah. Like turn him into a tight end if it doesn't turn out.
His dad was like 6'190". So I don't know where he got all those genes, but whatever. So I thought that's always interesting when you see like the son of so-and-so, because I think there's a lot of those. I think, was it? Well, obviously Antoine Winfield's son is on the Bucks. And Randy Moss's son just retired. So he didn't get those special genes that Randy.
It's hard to follow in a famous dad's footsteps.
Well, but yeah, none of Jordan's kids did anything, right?
Right. Yeah.
And LeBron's kid is
they're gonna draft him in the first round, so he goes to, so he signs with them.
It's LeBron's kid, what's his name? Moritz Boehringer. This year, the charity pick.
Detroit's going to take him, and he's going to be like, all right, well, I'm done. Time to fly on your own.
Well, son. I think, aren't people like, don't they want to draft him because they think LeBron will come if.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, okay. Where can people follow you on social media, Adam?
At Adam Patrick NFL on Threads and X.com. Which is a social media site, not something else. Hey, that's about it. I don't really go on Facebook, except unless I'm on the Viking Age account, because I'm not in my, you know, mid-50s or 60s. I don't need to be commenting on anything on there.
So my parents have asked people, they're like, is Chris doing okay? He hasn't posted in a while. No, I'm just under the age of 50.
On Facebook?
Yes. Yes. So... that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all the time we have for the Viking Age today. You can follow me on X. I feel like the Val Venus music should be playing when I talk about that site. That is a horrible saxophone. Hello, ladies.
There you go.
Let me tell you something, the big Val Boski. All right. Demonetized. Great. We do this every Monday with the late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. However you consume us, make sure you write, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.